Okay, so we're looking here on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. On the top of the Amud. And it says Rabbi Shimon Poter. So you made it out.
I made it.
Okay, it's good. You have a Gemara? So the question here that we're dealing with is Gid Anoshe in a Behemoth Tmeah, which means that you have a non-kosher animal, and the question is, what's the status of the Gid Anoshe of a non-kosher animal? So Reb Shimon says you're potter. What does that mean, you're potter? So Rashi explains that you're potter for both Gid Anoshe and a Behemoth Tmeah. So it's very odd, because on the one hand you're eating two different Isurim, you're eating a part of a non-kosher animal, you're also eating the Gid Anoshe of the non-kosher animal, and yet Rabbi Shimon says you're potter. So the Gemara explains the reasoning, the logic of Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon thinking? Mimonefshach. He says, E isur chalal isur l'chayev nami mishum gid. If, on the one hand, you want to argue that once it's asur b'toras behemoth tmeah, it's a non-kosher animal, and on top of that you want to add, according to Reb Shimon, another isur of gid anoshe, so if that be the case, you should be chayev shtayim. You should be chayev once for behemoth tmeah, and on top to boot, you should be chayev for gid anoshe.
Right.
Ve'i, and if you told me the other way around, the ein iser chal iser, and you want to say that now the iser of gid anoshe cannot be chal on the iser of behemoth tmeah, because Reb Shimon embraces the principle that you cannot add another iser on top of one iser. Once it's also, you cannot add another iser. Is l'chayv mishum tuma? At least one chiyuv you should have for eating a behemoth tmeah. So again, it could be that Reb Shimon would say you're potter from gid anoshe because ein iser chal iser dekadim, because the iser tuma came first. In other words, he views it as if, we have to see why. Don't ask me why yet, but why the iser tuma came first, and therefore you cannot add the iser gid anoshe on top of the iser tuma. But at least you should be chayiv one.
But Yisr goes in both directions.
He's saying like this: if Yisr Chal Yisr should be chayiv two, both for Gbei Mehen Tmeima and for Gid Anoshe. If Ein Yisr Chal Yisr, he says at least Chach admit to me that you should be chayiv for Yisr Tuma de Kadma, whatever that means, the Kadma. In other words, you have a choice between Behemoth Tmeima and Gid Anoshe. You cannot be chayiv for two because Ein Yisr Chal Yisr, one Heftz cannot be also for two different Yisurim. But let's go back to the earlier Yisr, and the Gemara identifies Behemoth Tmeah as the earlier Isur, for whatever reason, but at least you should be chayiv one.
Doesn't matter. I mean, even if it's the other way around, it's still.
No, the question is if there's no kadma.
Rabbi Olson, give me just 1 minute, if you don't mind, we're trying to make sense out of Reb Shimon. The paradox, I call it, this is the royal paradox of Reb Shimon. You're not chayiv neither for Behemoth Tmeah nor for Gid Anoshe. Oh. So the Gemara says, but then there's another possibility. V'i ein begidin b'no same time. Let's just explain. I mean, we've spoken about this in the past. Let's review. Ein begidin b'no same time means that the gid is not considered basar. It's not part of the animal. It's a separate entity. It doesn't have the tam of basar. You remember we discussed this. It's like eitz bi'alma. It's like a piece of wood that's stuck inside this animal. And therefore, when you eat the gid anoshe, you're eating eitz, you're not eating basar, and therefore you're not chayev for a non-kosher animal. So the Gemara answers, l'chayev mishum gid. Okay, so let him be chayev at least one mishum gid. You can't be mechayev for eating the gid as eating the basar, as eating the behemoth tmeah, but at least let him be chayev mishum gid. So this is what the Gemara says, mimanafshav. There's no way of making logical sense out of Reb Shimon. There are three logical possibilities. The fourth possibility is excluded. The first possibility is to say that he should be chayev for both. He should be chayev for both behemoth tmeah Shomea and Gidanosha, meaning we're assuming Yesh Begidin Beno Seitam, and therefore Gid has the status of boss. So you're eating a Beimet Tmeya, and on top to boot, you're violating Isa Gid. That's if we hold that Isa Chal Isa. If on the other hand, Ain Isa Chal Isa, now you have two choices. Either you should say that he's Chayev Mishum Beimet Tmeya, or you should say he's Chayev Mishum Gid. One, from the perspective of Yesh Begidim Beno Saint Tam, he should be Chayef Shum Behemet Meir. You can't be Mechayef and Bishum Gid as a second Isa because Ein Isa Chal Isa and the Isa Tmeir Kodim. We have to understand why it's Kodim, okay? That we didn't get. We didn't get to that. Or, alternative, maybe you could say that Ein Begidim Beno Saint Tam, therefore Rab Shimon Patas you from Behemet Meir because Gid is called Eitz and it's not called Basar, but Chodesh, at least you should be Chayiv Mishum Gid Anosha. The fourth possibility, that you're not Chayiv neither for Gid Anosha nor for Beimet Tmeya, doesn't make any sense. Omar Rav, and then we'll take questions, I just want to get the whole picture. Omar Rav, Liolam, Kasavar Ein Beginim Beno Seitam. If you ask me why, according to Rav Shimon, he's parted from Beimet Tmeya, the answer is because Ein Beginim Beno Seitam, which means that he's eating Eitz and he's not eating Basar. Fine. You still don't know why he's not Chayev Chach Mishum Gid Anosha. Oh, Vishaini Hasam. Why does Rav Shimon say he's parted even from Gid Anosha? And the answer is, and this is very, very fundamental, we always assume that in the case of Behemet Tmeya, you're not Chayev Mishum Gid, because Ein Isa Chal Isa. No, there's another reason why in Behemet Tmeya you're not Chayev Mishum Gid, and it has nothing to do with the violation of the Isa of Behemet Tmeya. And what is that? The Omar Kra, because Rav Shimon has a particular understanding that of a Pasuk in Bereishis. What does it say in Bereishis Lamed Beis? After the battle between Sar Shel Esav and Yaakov, and it says, Al Kain, now watch carefully in this pasuk. The way Reb Shimon understands, very unique way he understands this pasuk. Al Kain lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael es gin hanoshe. The way Reb Shimon understands this pasuk is he's looking at the animal. I'm just giving it to you figuratively, just for the sake of pedagogical success, hopefully. And he's looking at the animal, and he says, the Torah is saying, you know what? There's one part of this animal that you're not allowed to eat. That's how he's learning it. It's almost as if when the Torah says, lo yochlu es gid hanosha, the Torah is pointing to the gid hanosha, and it's telling you that, you know what? You can eat the animal, but don't eat the gid. That's how Rav Shimon interprets this pasuk. Misha gido osur. If you have a species of an animal where the gid is osur, you know, cattle, you have goats and lambs and sheep or whatever, and bisaro muti, you're allowed to eat the basar. But the Torah says don't eat the gid. Yotzesu. But if you have a non-kosher animal, the species itself is not kosher, and it's irrelevant whether or not in this particular case you're going to violate the Isur by eating the animal, because you're eating the gid, which is Eitz, and it's not the animal. But it doesn't matter. The Torah is now telling you which species of animals, which category of animals is included and engenders the Isur Gid Anosha. Yotzasa Behemet Meya Shegido Osur Ubisaro Osur. You can't say that the Torah is pointing to the gid and saying, don't eat the gid, but the remainder, the balance of the animal you're allowed to eat. In the case of Behemet Tmeya, the entire animal, all its basar is asur. So it comes out, the beautiful understanding of Reb Shimon, that on the one hand, Reb Shimon holds that you cannot violate the Isur Behemet Tmeya in this case because you only ate what? The gid. And Ein Begidin, but at the same time, the gid is Eitz. On the other hand, you'll ask me, at least let him violate the Isur Gid. The answer is, Misha Gido Asur Ubisaro Mutar, that's true. But here it's a case of Gido Asur Ubisaro Asur, and in such a case, the Torah didn't ask for the gid. Now I'll take questions.
I just don't know how he sees that from the Pasuk.
Well, because it says, B'nai Yisrael, so they can only eat kosher meat, they can't eat trade meat.
No, he's saying that the Torah is saying, don't eat the gid.
Yeah.
And Rav Shimon interprets like this, that what the Torah means is, you can eat the balance of the animal, but don't eat the gid.
Yeah, but you can only eat kosher meat. If
it's non-kosher meat, then the Torah didn't have to say, don't eat the gid.
Exactly.
Right? That's how he's learning.
I just wanted to...
So it comes out, Rabosai, very interesting, that we had many possibilities as far as what Issa you violate in a case where you eat the Gid Anosha Beim Atmeah. We had one possibility to say that he doesn't violate the Issa Gid because Ein Issa Chal Lisa. We had another possibility to say Ein Begidim Beno Saint Tam, and if he doesn't violate the Issa of Beim Atmeah, he violates the Issa of Gid Anosha. Now we have a third possibility to say that for two different reasons, you know, if we combine two different logical principles, we come to the conclusion he's not chayef for anything. He's not chayef for Beim Atmeah because he ate a gid, and the gid is Ein Begidim Beno Saint Tam. Chosh let him be chayef for the gid, and the answer is that Gid Anosha is only asur in a Beim Tahora, but not in a Beim Atmeah. If we combine those two principles, principle number one, that Ein Begidim Beno Saint Tam, and principle number two, that Gid Anosha is only asur in a Beim Tahora, then we come to the conclusion that you're chayef for Zippo. You're not chayef for anything in this case. There could have been a logical possibility that you're chayef for the gid, and you're not chayef for the basar because Ein Begidim Beno Saint Tam, and there's an Issur Gid even in a Beim Atmeah. You could have been chayef for eating the Beim Atmeah without being chayef for the gid because Yesh Begidim Beno Saint Tam, but Ein Issur Chal Alisa. Now, if you combine the following two principles, number one, that Ein Begidim Beno Saint Tam, and therefore you're not chayef for eating a Beim Atmeah. Number two, that Misha Besaro Mutar, then there's an Issur Gid. But if Besaro is also, then there's no Issur Gid. Meaning that there's no Issur Gid in a Beim Atmeah, then you're not chayef for eating the Gid as well, because the Gid of a Beim Atmeah was never prohibited.
Good, okay.
I like this sugya. You know, if you're into mathematics, you know, it's a beautiful sugya.
The thing that I just wanted to ask is, it was sort of a side issue,
yeah,
in a way, but it's something I need to understand fundamentally, and that is Yisr Chalal Ein, Yisr Chalal Yisr. The Gemara said there that they were trying to get out of Ein Yisr Chalal Yisr if there's a kadma. If one is kadam,
right, the premise is that Ein Issur Chal Issa means if Issur A was already Chal, that was Kadma,
yeah, then you cannot
superimpose,
right,
Issur B.
My question is, if both Issur occur simultaneously,
right,
do you say you're not high about anything because Ein Issur can't, none of them can be active because as soon as you want to activate one, the
no,
other one
in the case of Vasachas, that was the previous sugi that we learned, that both Isurim Achal.
The whole
principle of Ein Issur Chal Issur means that once the Cheft is already Osur, the Torah says that you can't impose another Isur on it. But if they both Isurim emerge simultaneously, then both Isurim Achal. Now, why is it, remember I asked you this before, but we never got a chance to answer it. Why does the Gemara assume that the Isur Beim Atmeah is Kadma? Why does that come before Gid Anosha? Because after all, one could argue that the creation of the animal includes both, you know, the animal emerges b'shas yitzirah, it has both the basar of the animal and it has the gid of the animal. So I just want to point out to you, and this I found here, he says the following, just one second, of course I lost it, but give me a second. He says the following: Iser Gid Anosha Chal Li Achar Yitziras Havlad. He says why? He says that's based on a sugya that we haven't really studied yet, that has to do with the Iser Tuma, and he wants to say that the Iser Beim Atmeah is Chal with the Yitziras Havlad, whereas the gid is chali achar yitzira. In other words, the gid itself, I don't know the biology of it, it somehow takes shape a little bit later after the entire animal is already created. In fact, there's one day, which again, it's not for us now, but that the Issur Gid Anosha is only chal after Leda.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
After Leda.
Why do you need to come to talk about gid being like an eitz? Because it doesn't matter what the gid is. If Rabbi Shimon says that it only applies to kosher animals, then in a non-kosher animal, even if the gid tasted like bosor, it wouldn't make any difference.
Well, no. If the gid tastes like basar, yeah, then even though there's no iser gid, but you would still engender an iser beimet meir.
Because it's a beimet meir.
But basar.
Is it just like eating the
ice? Right. Being like basar.
Right. Okay,
okay, Rabbi. So now we go on, and this part of the sugya really, really gets exciting. We've been operating with the principle called ein iser chalal iser. And in fact, it could be that even if Yesh Begidim Beno Saint Tam, you'd be in violation of Beimet Mei in this case, but you would not be in violation of Gid because Ein Yisr Chal Yisr. However, what we're about to start now, I'm just giving you a little background, is the question of exceptions to the rule. And basically, we have three fundamental exceptions to the rule. Number one, if the second Yisr is what's called a kolel. Kolel, nothing to do with the Emek Learning Center in this case. What's a kolel? A kolel means that the second Isur adds an extension, but listen carefully, an extension in terms of the Cheftzah Isura. We're not up to the Gavri yet. That's going to be the second case called an Iser Mosif. But an Iser Kolel means that the first Iser that was Chal is limited. It only applies to such a limited circumscribed scope. The second Iser, which is a Kolel, that adds other applications in terms of the Cheftzah Isura. I'll give you an example. The Iser Nevela, for example, is Chal on the entire animal. The Iser of Gid Anoshek, quite clearly, is only Chal on the Gid. That makes Nevela, relative to Gid, an Iser Kolel. So if let's say we assume that the Iser Gid is Chal, not B'shas, it's Chal B'shas Michayim, let me just put it that way. It's Chal, right, when the animal is alive, even before it died, the Gid Anoshek, if you would, let's say, anatomically, you know, you were, or you would dissect the animal somehow, or subject the animal to surgery in its lifetime and remove the gid. I'm just saying, let's say we have a kosher animal, just to make it easier, because we don't want to get into machlok stream Reb Yudin and Reb Shimon about a non-kosher animal. But if, let's say, you have a kosher animal, and it's certainly Isa gid, and you would remove the gid, let's say, Michayim, while the animal is still alive, then the animal drops dead, it becomes a nevela. So would you say that the Isur Nevela that's Chal after the animal dies cannot be Chal on the Gid Anoshe? The answer would be that in this case, it might be Chal B'toras Isur Kolel. What do I mean by Isur Kolel? The Gid Anoshe obviously is an Isur that's limited to just the Gid. The Isur of Nevela is Kolel the entire animal. And we'll have other cases similar. I'm just giving one example, Saber Da'ozen, as we say. And that would be an Isur Kolel. Okay, we'll have to see. Again, I'm just the Saber Tosin, just to know what an Isur Kolel is. An Isur Kolel means that it is expanded beyond one limited object. The object now expands. That's the second Isur. Then we have something called an Isur Mosif. The Isur Mosif means that more people become included in the Isur. Now, the first Isur is limited and only applies to, let's say, Mr. X and Mr. Y and Mr. Z. You know, and the second Isur applies not only to those three individuals, but it applies to Mr. A, Mr. B, and Mr. C. That's called an Isur Mosif. Okay, so that expands not the scope of the Cheftz of the Isur, but the scope of the Anoshim, you know, the people who are included in that Isur. And the third case is what's called an Isur Chamur. An Isur Chamur means where the second Isur added to the first Isur enhances, or I shouldn't say enhances, I should say expands the Chumras HaAveira. Let's say it adds an Isur Kares, where beforehand you'd only had an Isur Malkus. Or let's say, for example, the first Isur was only an Isur Achila, now it's also Asur Banah. We'll have many cases coming up in the Gemara of an Isur Chamur. So let's, without further ado, I mean, just if you keep this in mind, let's start understanding the sugya. This is now the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about an Isur Kolel. Om Rabbi Yudam Arav, Ha'ochel Gid Anoshe Shel Nevela. what's the deal if a person takes out the Gid Anoshe from an Avela? Is he chayev for two Averas? Number one, he's eating the Gid. Let's just say it's a kosher animal. Again, just to avoid the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that we spoke about. And in addition, are we mechayev him for eating an Avela? Again, now we're assuming Yesh Beginim and Oseng Tam, which means that the Gid Anosh is called Basar, and since the Torah prohibits Basar Nevela, Gid Anosh is included under Nevela. So this Gid Anosh has two Shemos to it, so to speak. It's subject to two different categories, two different Isurim, and it will engender two sets of Malchus. Like the Gemara Malchus has cases where you eat certain insects, and you have five different sets of Malchus. Here also, Rabbi Meir says, Mechayev Shtayim. There's an overlap here of both Nevela and Gid Anoshe. Now, you might ask me, but what about the principle of Ein Iser Chalal Iser? And the answer is that the Iser Nevela is an Iser Kolel. What does it mean it's an Iser Kolel? That was the first of our exceptions to the rule. It means that the Nevela now includes the entire animal. It's not limited to one particular part of the animal, in this case to the Gid Anoshe. And once the Issa Nevela is chal on the animal, it's chal on the entire animal. It's chal even on the Gid Anoshe. That's the sheet of whom? Of Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim omrim eino chayev ela achas. He's only chayev for the Gid Anoshe. Because Issa Gid Anoshe, again, was makdim. It came earlier. Correct? Because already before the animal died, there was an Issa Gid Anoshe. Well, the answer is that now the Issa Nevela cannot be chal on the Issa Gid. Why? Because according to Chachamim, the principle of Ein Issa Chal Issa does not tolerate an exception in the case of an Issa Kolel. It applies even in an Issa Kolel. And we still say, despite the fact that the second Issa, in this case Nevela, is Kolel, nevertheless, it's not chal on the Issa Gid Anoshe. So this Cheftza can only engender one Chiyuv, one set of 39 Malkus, and you would not be Chayiv Malkus for what? For Nevela. So far, so good. We have Machlokes, whether or not an Issa Kolel is chal in the case of Issa Chal. Issa Kointer Rabbi Meir, yes. An Issa Kolel is the exception to the rule of Ein Issa Chal Issa. Once Issa is Chal, but Kolel, it's Chal even on the original Issa, and you get two sets of Malkus for Gid Anoshe Shel Nevela, and the Chachamim deny it. They say Ein Issa Chal Issa even in the case of an Issa Kolel.
And if the Gid doesn't taste of the animal, once the animal is dead...
Right, we have to hold that Yesh Begid B'Don Seng Tam. Again, any time that you're chayev when you eat the gid for some other avera, yeah, meaning because it's part of a larger entity, the body of the animal, whether it's behemoth tmeo, whether it's nevela, even in a kosher animal, that's always because we hold Yesh Begid B'Non Seng Tam. As a general rule, you should know, although we pass it Ein Begid B'Non Seng Tam, but as a general rule in the Mishnayis, the Mishnayis and the Tanoim seem to always assume Yesh Begid B'Nosin Tam. So, you know, unless you know otherwise, you always assume Yesh Begid B'Nosin Tam. That was our Mishnah here on Daf Tzadites, that a Gid Anoshe that was cooked, right? You had the whole thigh and you cooked the Gid Anoshe, then the only way you could remove the Gid and eat the thigh is if it didn't give Tam. It means it was more than combustible efes. Again, I'm not reviewing all the long sugyas that we learned, and therefore the Gid was too, the thigh was too large relative to the Gid. But you see that the Mishnah assumed Yesh Begid B'Nosein Tam. Okay, fine. Well, now, does this mean, if we would stop here, that according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Meir, there's no such thing, there's no significance whatsoever to an Issa Kolel? So Gemara says no. Umodim Chachamim l'Rabbi Meir. The machlokas between Chachamim and Rabbi Meir is not as extreme as you think it is. There is a common ground, so to speak, an overlap. And that's the case of a Gid Anoshe in which there's also an Iser Hana. What do I mean? We've been speaking about Nevela, and we said that Nevela is Kolel. But Nevela is not more chamur than Gidanoshin, meaning both Gidanoshin and Nevela are what we call Isurei Achila. You're allowed to take a Gidanoshin and give it to a guy, right, as a gift, or feed it to your animal. A Nevela also, the Torah says explicitly, like Ger Asher B'Sharecha Titnena, or Machar, or you can sell a Nevela. But what happens in the case of a Gid Anoshe that's part of an animal, and the animal itself becomes Osir Bahano? And what do I mean the animal becomes Osir Bahano? There are two cases where the animal could become Osir Bahano. One is Kodshim. Kodshim is Osir Bahano. Okay, we'll see that there are actually two reasons why Kodshim is Osir Bahano. So let's say you have the Gid Anosh of a Behemas Kodshim. So now you're adding an Isur Hanah to the Gid Anosh. The Gid Anosh per se would not engender an Isur Hanah, but now that it's part of a Karman, the Karman itself, since it's an Isur Hanah, is adding a new Chumrah that didn't exist before. The second case is going to be a Shara Niskal. A Shara Niskal is Osir Banah. Now again, this is a whole Gansa Sugi here. You know, we're not going to learn the whole Sugi of Shara Niskal. That would take a month. But you'll have to take it on faith, that even if you were to shecht, even if you shecht the Shara Niskal before they got a chance to push it off the cliff, meaning after what's called the Gmar Din, before the Kiyum of Skila, and then you shechted it, it would still be Osir Banah. The question is whether you be chayv mishum nevela or it's a separate iser of shara niskal. That's a gigantic sugya. Does anybody know where that sugya is? I'm just testing you if you're learning daf yomi. That's all. It's in the sefer kedushin. You know. So let's assume, for argument's sake, you'll take it at a blind faith that the shara niskal, insofar as it has a chal shem shara niskal, that wasn't skila even, doesn't matter, but it was gemar din, which engenders the shem shara niskal, is asur bano. So for example, if I have a shara niskal, am I allowed to how do you say harish in English? Am I allowed to plow my field with a shara niskal? Yeah, it's a real healthy ox, you know, so healthy that it killed a person. That's how healthy it was. So after the Gemara Din, I'm not allowed to get any benefits whatsoever from the Shara Niskal. And that's called an Iser Chamur vis-a-vis Gid Anoshe. What I mean to say is that this Gid Anoshe, so far as it's part of a Shara Niskal, now the Shara Niskal adds another dimension or another chumrah to the Easter that existed before. Before it was only Osir Be'achila. Now it became Osir Be'hanah. So now we learn the following. Modim Chacham. Does everybody have the place? Umodim Chacham l'Rabbi Meir. There is a case where the Chachamim, this way Rashi learns the sugya, where the Chachamim agree that an Easter Kolel is Chal on Gid Anoshe, and we say Yesh Iser Chal Iser, right? That Iser is Chal Iser because we have now a combination. That's how Rashi learns the sugya of two elements. The second Iser is greater than the first Iser in terms of its scope. That's called an Iser Kolel. And number two, the second Iser is also more chomer than the first Iser. So if you combine both variables A and B, that's a case where even the Chacham agree that you've elevated the second Easter to such a high, you know, superior status relative to the first Easter, that the second Easter is Chal on the first Easter. And therefore, Modim Chacham Rabbi Meir, Bi Ochel Gid Anoshe Shel Ola, that's one case. Or number two, Shel Sharad Niskal, Shechayev Shtayim. He'd be Chayev number one, Mishum Gid Anoshe. And number two, Mishum Ola. Again, we're assuming Yesh Begid Meno Saint Tam. Or alternatively, Chayev Mishum Gid Anoshe and Shara Niskal. Now let's talk for a minute about Ola. There are two separate reasons why a carbon Ola is Asur Be'achila. And both reasons will, on the one hand, overlap, but at the same time, they'll generate an additional Isur, in addition to the Isur Achila, an Isur Hanah. The first reason, which is unique to Ola, and it doesn't apply to other karbanos, is that Ola is kulo kalil. The Torah tells us at the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra that the karban Ola has to be completely burnt on the Mizbeach. And the halacha is that when it comes to an Iser of, again, we're not talking about kolel, but about kolel, in two different words, it has very similar sounds to them. We're not talking about a kolel, we're talking about a kolel. Kolel means chaf lamed yud lamed, that it's completely burnt on the Mizbeach. And the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat a kolel. That's a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Vav, kolel tielo sochal. And the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Pesachim that whenever it says achila, it includes an Iser Hanah as well. That's the sheet of Rabbi Avo. And the only exception is Nevela, where the Torah says don't eat Nevela, then the Torah says you're allowed to give it to a goy. But where the Torah does not say you're allowed to have Hanah from it, then the assumption is, unless we know otherwise, that the Iser achila generates an Iser Hanah as well. Now there's a second reason why a carbon ola is asur b'hanah, and that has nothing to do with kolil, and it would apply to any carbon, and that is what's called the Iser Me'ila. The Iser Me'ila is derived in Parshas Re'eh and Sefer Dvarim for the Pasul of Suchal Lechol Bisharecha. And the Rambam already at the very beginning of Hilchus Me'ila tells us that the Iser Me'ila applies Bein Ba'achila Bein ba'anah. So if you were to learn Masechta Me'ila, I don't know how many people here have learned Masechta Me'ila. You learned Me'ila? Me'ila is a very lovdish Masechta. I only learned very small parts of Me'ila in Boston with the Rav when somebody decided we're learning Me'ila. You know, the Rav, the one thing about the Rav, he chose what Masechta we learn, and you knew one thing. If we wanted to learn Masechta X, he was not going to teach Masechta X. That's the only thing you could guess about which Masechta he would choose. I remember once he asked us what Masechta we want to learn, so we said Bava Metzia. The next day he came in with the Bava Kamma. Okay, that was his shtick. The bottom line is that Me'ila generates an Iser Hanah as well. Now the Rambam in Hilchus Me'ila tells us something unique about the Iser Hanah and Me'ila. The Iser Hanah and Me'ila has to be what's called Shava Pruta. It's very interesting because the Iser Achila means you ate a kezias and you violated the Iser Achila. It matters not what the market value of that kezias is, because there the Iser is Achila. And in Iser Hanah, also likewise, if I benefit from it, I violate the Iser Hanah. But Me'ila is unique, because Me'ila really means to embezzle Hegdish. I'm stealing from Hegdish. And just like if I steal from another human being, I'm only chayav because I stole a Shavu Pruta. If it's less than a Shavu Pruta, the assumption is that there's Mechila. So too in the Iser Me'ila, the premise is that I'm chayav because I stole something of significance. Significance means of value, such that Hanah is worth on the market a Pruta. So therefore, if let's say I had a Basar Kodesh, it doesn't matter which carbon in this case, it doesn't have to be an Ola, and I would ride the carbon. You know, I enjoyed the benefit of riding. If you would pay rental fees of a pruta to ride an animal, then you're chayev mishum me'il. So that's the Iser Hanah in Kodesh. So there's a sefer called the Tam HaMelech. He wants to know exactly why the Brisa here that we're learning pin down carbon ola here. L'chora, it's not a separate din in carbon ola. If you want to give an example of Yisuri Hanah and Kodshim, you could have said any Kodshim is also a Me'ila. But maybe the Mishnah wants to say that you're also a Toras Achila. In other words, Hanah is an extension of Achila. Right? Achila is the most profound category of Hanah. So if you expand Achila to include all forms of Hanah, then you're not limited to Shava Pruta. And that's true for Ola, because Ola is Aser Ba'achila and Ba'anah by virtue of the fact that the Torah says Kolil Tielo Sochal. That's independent of the Isa Me'ila. Has nothing to do with the fact that I'm stealing from Hegdish.
So,
Correct. Ola is really an overlap of two reasons, which both of which independently could engender an Isra Hano. Correct. In other korbanos, you're only engendering an Isra Hano as an extension or an application of what we call Me'ila. I mean, you're embezzling from Hegdesh. In Me'ila, there's a separate, in Ola, there's a separate Isra Achila that the Torah formulated. It's a lav that's counted in Taryag, and that Isra Achila extends to Hana as well. Then we have the case of Shar Niskal. And Shar Niskal is a Sugyim Bava Kama, Daf Mem Aleph. And the Gemara says that Nigmar Dino Osir Bano. So now we have the Chachamim accepting the principle of Iser Chalal Iser of Rabbi Meir, but not because it was Kolel, for example, the case in the Vela vis-a-vis Gid HaNoshe, but in the cases of Ola and Shar Niskal vis-a-vis Gid HaNoshe, because in these cases of Ola and Shar Niskal, it's not just a Kolel that includes the entire animal, but moreover, these are Isurim Chamurim. So, for example, if you are putting, let's say Gid HaNoshe on the one end and Ola and Shar Niskal on a scale of Isurim, which is more strict and which is more Chamur, then Gid HaNoshe, let's say, would reach the number 50 insofar as it's an Isra Achila, whereas Ola, or alternatively Shar Niskal, that would reach the number 100, because it's much more chamur in the fact that it is not only a limited Isra Achila, but it's also an Isra Hano. So that's called chamur, an Isra Chamur. Okay. Now the Gemara wants to clarify who exactly are these chachamim. The Chacham who disagree with Rabbi Meir about an Isur Kolel, and they're only Moda to Rabbi Meir if it's also an Isur Chamur, who are they? Can we identify them? Which is a classical, Talmudic methodology. When you want to show that you can prove logically that you know who the author of a Mishnah or a Brisa is, so the Gemara wants to know who that is. Uman Haytano, who is the author amongst the Tanoim that we can pin him down as saying to be Iser Kolel, Iser Chalal, Iser Lesle, but Iser Kol, Iser Chamor, Isle. In other words, the Chachamim that we mentioned before, who argue with Rabbi Meir in the case of Nevela, because Nevela is an Iser Kolel, but they agree in the case of Ola, in the case of Shar HaNiskal, because in those cases we have not just an Isur Kolel, but also what? An Isur Chamur. Who are these Chacham? Amar Rava, Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi. This now we learned in a Mishnah in Masechet Zvachim. Okay, let's give just a little bit of an introduction, a little background to this Mishnah in Zvachim. What we have to know is that in the laws of Tumah with regard to Kachim, there are two separate Lavim, two separate Isurim. One emanates from the Chefza, one emanates from the Gav. Meaning that if, let's say, you have Basar Kodesh and it contracts Tumah, then the Torah prohibits you, as we'll soon see the Psukim, from eating Basar Kodesh and Nitma. Okay? Now we have the flip side. Let's say the Basar Kodesh is Tar, but you became Tame. The Torah prohibits you from eating the Basar Kodesh. The second case is what's called an Isur Chamur. Why? Because if a Tame eats Basar Kodesh that's Tar, he engenders an Isur Karis, whereas if a person eats Basar Kodesh that's Tameh, that's a separate lav. In the worst case scenario, you'll get a punishment called Malkos, but there's no Issur Karas.
This is except for an Ola, which you can't eat at all.
Correct. I'm talking about Basar Kodesh that you're allowed to eat, because we want to just, you know, fuzz out any other violations. The only violation would be because A, it's Tameh, meaning the Basar became contracted, Tumah Sheretz fell on top of Basar Kodesh, and now you go in and you eat it, your Chayev Malkus Mishum Basar Kodesh at Nitma. Or alternatively, even if the Basar remained tar, you contracted Tumah, you walked into an Olamess or came in contact with the Sheretz, and now you ate the Basar Tameh, the Basar Kodesh. If you eat Basar Kodesh as a Tameh, that's what's called an Issa Chomer. That's an Issa Karis. Okay, just a little bit of background to this Mishnah. Oh. Now the Mishnah says the following. Tameh Sha'achal Kodesh. A man was Tameh, and he ate Basar Kodesh. Okay, so certainly he's violated. If I stop here, before I read the next phrase in the Mishnah, I would tell you that this is the classical case of a Chiyuv Kares. Why? Because the Torah says that if you are Tameh, which is called Tumas Haguf, means something in your body that's Tameh, that made you Tameh, and then you ate Kodshim, the Torah says that you're Chayev Kares for that. And if we have time, we'll take a look at the psukim inside. It's in Vayikra Perek Zion. Okay? Now, what's the deal if a person violates an Issur Kares Bishogeg? Does anybody remember? Correct. What's that korban called? A chat. So that's called the korban chat. So again, any violation which bemazes is Machayev Yukares, Bishogeg is Machayev Yukhatos. And therefore, in this case, if let's say inadvertently, you know, I forgot that I was Tameh, or I didn't know that this Basar was Basar Kodesh, so I was Tameh and I ate Basar Kodesh, if I did it unintentionally, that's called Bishogeg, I have to bring a Korban Chatos. That's the easy part of this Mishnah. The more complicated part of the Mishnah is the next line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the following. Bein Kodesh Tameh, Ubein Kodesh Tahar Chayev. Chayev meaning Kares B'mezid or Chatas B'shogeg. Okay, now wait a minute. If this Basar is Tahar, Nicha, that I understand very well. That's okay. That's a straightforward case. A person has Tumas Haguf. He ate either deliberately or unintentionally Basar Kodesh that was Tahar. He's Chayev Kares or a Korban Chatos. But notice that the Mishnah says that even if that Basar was Tameh, nevertheless he's Chayev Kares. Or
that's the more chomer one. And if you ignore
that. Oh, okay, so you're a step ahead of me. Michael's giving the answer to my question. I didn't even ask the question yet. Well, let me ask the question and then we'll have your answers. Because I my mind moves slowly. You may have forgotten that, Michael, because you've been away for a few months. Right? So my question is as follows. If the Basar Kodesh is Tahar, I understand that if you're Tameh, you violate the Isur of Tumas Aguf vis-a-vis Basar Kodesh. But if the Basar is already Tameh, so you can't eat that Basar, not because you're a Tameh in Tumas Aguf, but because of the separate lav of eating Kodesh, that's Nitma. Kodesh says Nitma cannot be eaten. And you incur a lot. The Melech should apply the principle of Ein Issur Chalalisa. Comes along Michael and he says, but it's an Issur Chamur. The Issur of Tumas Aguf is more Chamur. Now keep in mind, it's not only more Chamur, it's also an Issur Kolel. Because again, the first Issur is inherent in the Basar. And that only applies to this piece of Kodesh. When you contract Tumas Aguf, now that Issur is kolel everything, whether it's Kodesh that's Tameh, Kodesh that's Tahar. So we have now a double whammy. We have now that the Tumas Aguf engenders a status of an Issur kolel and at the same time an Issur chom. And if that be the case, then you're chayav.
Doesn't it? How about, should you not take into account which came first?
Okay, let's go slowly again. You know, I just want to see the whole picture, and then we're going to talk about which came first. Reb Yossi Aglili Omer. Reb Yossi Aglili says the following. Tomei she'ochal es ha-tohar, meaning if the basar kodesh was tohar, he's chayef. I skipped a line. Sorry. Chayef. Aber, tomei she'ochal es ha-tomei, if the basar kodesh was already tomei, then even though he, the ochel, is tamei, is potter. Why? Shelo ochel ela dover tamei. In other words, the violation here is one single violation, and only one, of eating basar kodesh shenitma, and the additional problem here of tumas haguf is not violated. In other words, watch this. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is claiming that Ein Iser Chalal Iser applies even if the second Iser is both Kolel and Chamor. Amru Lo, so the Chachamim, that's the Tanakhama of this Mishnah, turn to Rabbi Yossi Aglili and they say, no. Af Tomei She'ochal Satar. How can you tell me that in the case of Tomei She'ochal HaSatohar, then and only then you're chayv mishum tumas haguf, is kevan shenagabo, the very moment that the Tomei picked up the basar, and the Tomei himself is Tomei, the basar becomes Tomei Timahu. Timo means through his negia, he's mitame the basar. And according to you, correct? According to you, keep in mind, again, we're not getting into the question of which came first yet. That's you have to sort of, you know, because if you think of too many issues at the same time, you're not going to sort it all out. So at this point, the Gemara is attacking, Chachom are attacking Rav Yossi, because what they're saying is, you Rav Yossi, really can't be right, because if that be the case, you would never be chayev for Tumas Aguf, because the very moment that you picked up the basar, which is presumably tar according to Rav Yossi, you were metamei benegia. And therefore, how could the Torah ever say that you're chayev kares because of Tumas Aguf? There is no mitzius in the world of tumas aguf that could incur achiv kares. Why? Because the very moment you pick it up, you now have converted, you transformed the basar tar into basar tamei, and now you're going to tell me eni sechal liser afilu beiser kolel afilu beiser mosif. Now, clearly, Rabosai, in this case, the way the Chachamim present their thesis, and we're going to have to see in a minute how Rabbi Yossi Aglili defends himself against this argument. In this case, which Iser comes first? Don't fall into my trap here. Which Iser came first? No. Why? Because the very moment he touched up, see, you might be right. Yeah. The goof came first because he, even though he hasn't yet violated that Iser, but the Iser is already chal. Correct. Okay, so the Gemara right away says Shapir ka'omale ka'amrile rabbonu Rav Yossi Aglili. In other words, how do we defend Rav Yossi Aglili and come up with a case of what? Of a Tomei She'ochal Tar, and therefore he incurs a chiyuv kares. Omar Rava wants to defend. He says b'nitma haguf v'achar kach nitma basar. And this, I think, was your point, Michael. Yeah. Namely, that when does Rav Yossi say that the chiyuv is for what? Is only for a tummy who eats basar tar. But if he eats basar tar, he's not chayev for what? For tumas aguf. That's because, which came first? The Tumas Basar Kodesh. If the Tumas Basar Kodesh came first, but if Nitma Gufi Acharkach Nitma Basar, is Kuli Amalo Pligi the Chayiv, Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree that if his Tumas Aguf came first, correct? Let me get this straight. V'yoma Rava b'nitma haguf v'achar kach nitma basar is then kuli alma lo pligi, whether it's the Chachamim or Rabbi Yossi, the Chayev, Chayev means he's Chayev Kares, and the reason for that is what? The Isur Kares Kadim, which came first, the Isur Kares, because as you said before, Michael, he was Nitma Gufo first, even though again he hasn't yet eaten anything, but the Isur is ready Chal, meaning right now he's not allowed, as a Tomei Begufo, he's not allowed to eat Basar Kodesh. If that be the case, then he would certainly be Chayev Kares. And in such a case, the fact that the Basar became Tomei later, it doesn't matter because even if you were to say Eini Sechalisa, it's irrelevant. We already have the Issa Kares of Tomei or Ki Pligi. So what is this case? What is the case in which there is a controversy between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim? When we flip it around, it wasn't that the Tumas HaGuf came first and the Tumas HaBasar second, but the Nitma HaBasar, first the Basar became Tomei, the Achkach Nitma HaGuf, and then the Guf became Tomei. Rabbanan Islay the Chachamim say that in this case we're going to apply the principle of what? Of Isur Chal al Isur. Why is the Isur Chal al Isur? Because Isur Kolel, the Isur of what? Of Tumas HaGuf, is an Isur Kolel. Okay? We're not talking about an Isur Chomer yet. That's going to be the next piece of Gemara. But let's go slowly here. So the Gemara is arguing that according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in this case where the Basar became Tomei first, we will apply, and then the Gavra became Tomei, the Guf became Tomei, we will say Isur Kolel, and Isur Kol is Chal. Why? Migu de Mechayev Achatichos Tahoros, the Alma. In other words, now we're adding another Isur that didn't exist before, because now that the Gavra became Tomei, Betumas Gufo, he's enjoined from eating even Basar Tahor. Right? The Isur of Basar Tomei is limited to Basar Tomei, that lav. Now we add a lav of Tumas Gufo, which is Kolel, even what? Chatichos Tahoros. Is there from a Chayiv Namiya, Chaticha Tmei, according to the Chachamim, it's an Isur Kolel. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Lesle, Isur Kolel. Demigulor Rinon. Notice once the Torah says, this is the halakhic principle of Ein Isur Chal al Isur. That applies even in the case of an Isur Kolel. And therefore, if the Tumas HaBasar came first, and then the Tumas HaGuf came second, even though the Tumas HaGuf now engenders an Isur Kolel insofar as it asks even what? Basar Tar. Nevertheless, Ein Isur Chal al Isur, and therefore you're not Chayev Kares. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute. How could that be? For Rabbi Yossi Aglili, even if you'll tell me that he doesn't accept the principle of Isur Kolel, like for example, Nevela and Gina Noshe, right? But nevertheless, Nehid Isur Kolel Esle, the Isur Kal, right? Isur Kal means that Nevela is the same as what? As Gina Noshe. They're both equal. They're both Kal, relatively, because all they have is an Isur Achila without an Isur Hano. Avol Yot, but here in this case, Yavo Isur Chamor V'yachal Isur Kal. Here in this case, even Rabbi Yossi Aglili, even though he denies the principle of Kolel, he should admit that Kolel works if it is an Isur Chamor. And why is this a case of Isur Chamor V'yachal Isur Kal? My new Tumas HaGuf, Shari Tumas HaGuf Bekares. In other words, if the Basar became Tomei, that's not a Chiyuv Kares. That's only an Isur Lav. Because the Torah says, HaBasar SheYigah B'chol Tomei Lo Yochal, and that's only an Isur Lav. There's no Isur Kares in the parasha of Basar Tomei. But in the parasha of what? Of Tumas HaGuf, there the Torah says that Yechayev Kares, that was Vayikra Zayin that I mentioned to you before, is that we have now an Isur Chomer. So why does Rabbi Yossi Aglili say that if the Tumas HaGuf comes second, it's not Chal on the Tumas Basar? After all, Rava just told us that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, even though Rabbi Yossi denies Yisur Kolel, but he admits to Yisur Chamur. Omer Rav Ashi, man lemole, man lemolon de tumas aguf chamura, dilma tumas basar chamura. Why? Now this is a very strange halacha. Until now we've been deciding that we take two Yisurim and we compare them, and we want to know relatively which one is Chamur. We said it all depends on the Onish. Our barometer for defining an Yisur Chamur is the Onish. So the case of Tumas Basar is only an Yisur Lav, you get Malkus. In the case of Tumas Aguv, you have an Yisur Karis. Says Harashi, no, the situation is much more complex. And you can have another barometer of deciding what's an Yisur Chamur, and that is whether or not the Yisur lends itself to a Heter. Okay? An Yisur Sheyesh Lo Heter is Kal vis-a-vis an Yisur Sheyem Lo Heter. Which one of these two Yisurim have a Heter? There's Tumas Aguf and there's Tumas Basar. Once the Basar is Tomei, that's it. It's also forever. It's irreversible. But if the Guf is Tomei, what can he do? Jump into a mikvah. Is Dilma Tumas Basar Chamura? Why do Lesle Tara be mikvah? Right? And here we're turning to Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. And therefore, Rashi points out over here that Tumas Aguf lends itself to a heter of what? Of mikvah. Whereas Tumas Basar, Lesle Tara be mikvah.
And therefore, what? It's less chamur?
And therefore, Tumas Aguf is less chomer. Again, it's odd, right? Even though if he eats the Basar Kodesh before he goes to the mikvah, in his state of Tuma, he incurs a chiv what? Kares, which makes it Yisur Chomer. No. Perhaps, says the Gemara, that's Rav Ashi Sfara, that Rav Yossi wants to suggest that in the overall picture, even if a temporary Isur once violated incurs a more severe onish, namely kares, but since it's a temporary Isur, it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, if you want to use that term, because it lends itself to tara b'mikvah, that gives it a status of an Isur kal vis-a-vis something that has no heter. For example, the basar itself became tam.
And therefore what?
And therefore, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is correct in saying that if the basar became tame first, stage one, shlav aleph, as we say, and then subsequently the guf became tame in shlav bet, that iser is not chal in the first iser. You'll ask me two kashas. Number one, Tumas Aguf is an iser kola because now he can't eat basar the tar. So then the answer to that question is Rav Yossi Aglili never accepted iser kola, and therefore the Vela and Gidanoshi would say that you only chai for Gidanoshi and iser chal iser. And number two, you'll ask me a second kash, but it's in Yisur Chamur. The answer is he holds that despite the fact that the Yisur Tumas Aguf generates an Yisur Kares, whereas the Yisur Tumas Abbas does not, but nevertheless, insofar as the Yisur Tumas Aguf lends itself to a Tara, a Mikvah, to a Heter, it becomes an Yisur Kal, and the Gemara is not happy about that. So that's the next Gemara here about the case of Yisur Kolel on Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim, if there's an overlap of Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim. So Rabbi said, we have to go to Mincha soon, so we'll just read the next line in the Gemara, which is the beginning of Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Lesle Yisur Kolel Vasanya Shabbos V'Yom HaKippurim, that Yom HaKippurim was Chal on Shabbos, Shogag V'Yosem Melocha Minayin Shechayev, he has to bring a Korban Chatos Al Zeh V'Atzmo V'Al Zeh V'Atzmo, he's violating two Yisurei Kareis B'Shogeg, therefore he has to bring two Korbanos Chatos, one for violating Shabbos and the other for violating Yom Kippur. Each Melocha, each violation through this Melocha would in and of itself independently engender a chiyuv karmah chatos, and in this case you have an overlap of both Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim. Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, Shabbos he, Yom HaKippurim who. Okay, they look like the same words, but one is a he and one is a who. And this is all in which Parsha Rabosai that we read recently? Parshas Emor, right? Parshas Emor is the Parsha of the Moadim. And why did the Torah have to say Shabbos he and Yom HaKippurim who? The answer is, the Torah wants to tell you that even though it's both Shabbos and Yom Kippur, nevertheless, they're both Chal. Why? because of the principle of Iser Kolel, which means that Rabbi Yossi adopted the Iser Kolel, and now the Iser of Shabbos, which has more applications, right? There are more malachas that are included in Shabbos than in Yom HaKippur, and we have to see exactly why, is Chal on top of the Iser of Shabbos. Okay, Rabbi Yossi, so we'll stop here, and B'li Neder will pick this up.
For malach on Shabbos is more slower than
Oh, so the Gemara is going to say that perhaps Rabbi Yossi Aglil is mode that if you combine both Iser Kolel and the Iser Chamur, right? Because Shabbos is an Iser Kolel and an Iser Chamur. We'll have to see exactly why. We know why it's an Iser Chamur, because you have Mises Bezdin for violating the Shabbos. The Iser of Yom Kippurim is only what? Only an Iser Kares. But the answer is, if you combine Iser Chamur with Iser Kolel, the combination thereof is Yesh Iser Chal al Iser. Okay then? Alright. Believe that it will.
This is a very nice
sugya. It's a very nice sugya.